Believe it or not, God wants to give you joy in praising him. And he calls us to praise him in joy. You see, today's antiphon for the psalm is this: let all the earth cry out to God with joy. And it's Psalm 66, in which we hear, "Sing joyfully to God all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds." What does it mean to praise God? It first means to acknowledge who he is and what he's done for us. To acknowledge him, right? To lift him up in our hearts and our minds. To acknowledge the reality of his being, of what he's done. And the second is to do it out loud, often with song and with joy. You see, all throughout the scriptures, the praise of God, especially the worship in the temple, but also the praise of the early Christians, was a praise filled with joy, to acknowledge who God is and what he's done for us. So much so that there'd be a kind of a shouting with joy. So let me ask a question. Where are the Christians who praise God with joy? Where do we see people shouting God's praises and worshiping him with all of their hearts? Now, some might respond, well, actually, here in the church. And that's true, right? You know, at this Mass, there's a little bit more expression that happens in our praise, and that's a good thing. But we don't need to praise God simply in church, that we can praise God outside of it. The truth is that the lack of joyful praise of God should be a concern to us in one way or another, because it is in the worship of Israel, who didn't know God like we know him, who didn't have God save them like we've had him save us. Their worship was filled with joy. How much more should our worship be accented by the joy of the Lord? And so, as Christians, we should recognize that joyfully praising God, as the Psalms exhort us to, is not an optional part of the Christian life. And because it's an essential part of the Christian life, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about real briefly two reasons why we often find it difficult to praise God with joy. And then I'm going to offer a couple tips on how we can grow in our joyful praise of the Lord. The first reason why we often do not praise God with joy is that we often resist praying to God with our whole heart. Right? God gives us a commandment to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And yet sometimes we tend to downplay our emotions and our feelings, and we tend to over-intellectualize our faith. That we approach God simply in terms of intellectual ideas. That we think that we kind of reduce Christianity to a system of belief or a philosophy. And our relationship with God is very heady. Right? I talk to him, I share my thoughts, and I receive thoughts from him. But the reality is that we're meant to share our entire lives with him, our feelings and our emotions as well, to really be integrated in him. That when our worship of God, when our prayer of God is integrated with our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, we open our hearts to allow him to influence us and to move us, often moving us to joy when we praise him. And so some of you who know psychology would say, well, not everyone does that as easily as others, right? There's some people that are more capable of expressing and acknowledging their emotions than others. Some people are too emotional all of the time, right? They're almost given too much to their emotions. There are other people who perhaps aren't allowing their emotions to move them. They tend to suppress their emotions or not express them very easily. But the truth is that in our prayer, we're meant to bring all of that to the Lord so that we can allow him to influence us and to move us. Over the years, I've heard a certain kind of criticism of Christians who really enjoy praising God out loud, enjoy a certain kind of music. And the criticism says something like this: your emotive praise of God, you're kind of like giving over to this expressiveness, is tantamount to a certain kind of emotionalism. And emotionalism is when we allow our emotions to have too much influence in our life, that it takes us away from the truth that God has for us, that emotions can really lead us astray. And therefore, we as Christians need to be aware that emotionalism is a real problem. It is a real temptation to give undue influence on our emotional life, right? We're meant to direct our emotions for the good. But one of the things we need to realize, if we look around the church, that's not typically the problem that we see. We don't see people in the praise of God being too excited and too joyful. We don't say, you know what, there's a huge problem in the church. People are too joyful when they praise God. They're too expressive. You know, there's just, I can't handle that much joy. They've fallen into error because of their joy. That's not typically the problem. The problem is actually another kind of emotionalism that is a little bit more insidious, if you may. Because this kind of emotionalism essentially is when, out of the fear that is an emotion, we tend to suppress and downplay our emotions because we don't want to experience them and we don't want to be moved in one way or another. And that happens when we pray and when we praise God, when we kind of close our hearts. Because this kind of, this emotionalism, this fear-based emotionalism really is a certain kind of, or a form of self-protection. We're protecting our hearts from being moved in one way or another. And when we protect our hearts from being moved in one way or another, the paradox is that we don't allow God to move us. And when we don't allow God to move us, the very reason why we often want to seek control of our emotions cannot be dealt with, because God meets us in a closed heart. And so one of the things that I want to encourage all of us is to remember is that we typically don't praise God with joy because we don't feel like it. Think about it. When things are going well in your life, when your relationships are going well, when your job is going well, when you're experiencing blessing, it's not too difficult to say, God, I thank you. God, you are so good. I praise you for who you are. And I'm just so grateful that you called me to this, this, and this. And we can enter into that praise. But when things aren't going very well in your life, when things are dark, when relationships are breaking apart, when things are falling apart around you, it's very difficult to praise God. In fact, the last thing that you often want to do is to praise God. And so one of the things we need to remember is that regardless of your circumstance, God is always good. Amen? Regardless of your circumstance, he's always your savior. He's always the one freeing you from sin and death. Amen? And therefore, if we remember that, then we can choose to love God precisely when we don't feel like it. And when we do that, we open up our hearts to the very breakthrough that we're looking for in those situations. And so one of the things I want to encourage us to do as a tip is resist giving in to the self-protection of emotionalism and praise God, especially when you don't feel like it. Especially when you don't feel like it. What always strikes me is that we as Christians can often get more joyful and more kind of celebratory when our favorite team is victorious over the other team. We get more excitement and joy and celebrate that more than we do Jesus being victorious over our enemy, or over sin, over death. And this is not a judgment. I mean, this happens to all of us. But the truth is that when we recognize that what's going on in our own hearts, then we can actually acknowledge it and bring it to the Lord and invite God completely into it. You see, when I was in my priest fraternity, we all worship God together. Every time, every 2 weeks, we got about 10 guys in the fraternity. We get together and we have Eucharistic adoration. And at the beginning of Eucharistic adoration, we sing songs of joy and praise to God. Now, I know it's not super common to have grown men sing together praise to God in their homes. I think it should become more common. But the fact is that I don't always want to do that. In fact, most of the time, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to praise God right now. I got these things going on. I got this, you know, Father Miguel's driving me crazy. I got this thing over here and this in the parish and like, oh my, I have this desolation. The last thing I want to do is to praise God with joy. But I know that's precisely when I need to. It's precisely when I'm going to forget about myself, take my eyes off of myself to focus it on my Lord, who has done so much for me, who is goodness itself, that when I do that, the heaviness and the darkness lifts from me. And I can experience the joy of God in ways that I never would have if I would not have praised him when I didn't feel like it. You see, we as Christians, when we praise God when we don't feel like it, open our hearts to the very love and breakthrough that we're looking for. And so when we're at Mass, and you see someone not praying or not singing very well or not even singing, don't judge them. We don't know what's going on in their hearts. And when I see people at Mass, I wonder sometimes maybe they're not singing because they think their voice is terrifying to everybody else around them. But your voice is given to you by God, so it's worth, you know, singing to the Lord with it anyway. But maybe sometimes people aren't singing because really, at that part of the Mass, they're really praying. They're sincerely giving their hearts over to the Lord. There are some parts of the Mass, by the way, that we really should be singing, like the Gloria and the Alleluia, and other parts that are not necessary for us to be singing in terms of our participation. But I think sometimes that we don't sing at Mass, we don't worship God, because there's an inner resistance to being vulnerable to God. There's an inner resistance of not actually sharing with him our feelings and our emotions, of not actually trying to worship God because we don't feel like it. It's precisely there, if that's you, worship him and sing joyfully anyway. Pray like you wish you felt. And when you do that, you're opening God, your heart, to be influenced by the very love of God, which can actually break into the very places that you're struggling with. The truth is that we don't have to give in to our emotions. And when we give in to our emotions, that kind of emotionalism can close us off from God. So the first reason why we find it difficult to praise God is that we often do not pray to God with our whole heart. Number two, it's going to be a little bit shorter, is that the second reason why we find it difficult to praise God with joy is that we simply do not have joy in our hearts with regard to what God has done for us. You know, one of the things that's important is that apart from the obvious reason that we sometimes are putting other things above God, when we put something else above God, we're not going to have joy about the things of God as much. Apart from that obvious reason, one of the things that can really influence the way that we worship God is our sense of his presence to us, the sense of his goodness. If God seems distant from us, if he seems abstract, if he seems far away, impersonal, indifferent to you, it's a lot harder to praise and worship God. And this is something that we can't manufacture in our own lives. I can't manufacture in your heart the awareness of God's love and his presence and his goodness. That is really the work of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're having a hard time kind of worshiping God, or that you don't understand how good he really is to the point where you don't really want to worship him, what my encouragement is to open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that reveals Jesus to us. Father Miguel, the other week, it was probably about a couple months ago, preached a homily on baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is the grace by which we are kind of come alive to the reality of what God has done for us in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit being released from the graces that we received in baptism and confirmation. When they're released in our life, God becomes more immediate to us, and then we want to praise him. And so if you don't want to praise God, You don't really have joy with regard to what he's done for you, I want to encourage you with this tip. Sincerely and continuously ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. Because without that revelation, you will not want to praise God. You'll want to be caught up in other things. And I don't know about you, but it's very easy to be caught up in all sorts of things in our culture today. We live in a very distracted culture. If we don't have the praise of God in our hearts, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus so he can give it to you. In just a couple weeks, we have a very practical opportunity for this to happen. As St. Pat's here on Pentecost Saturday, the vigil, we have an event here in the church in which we're praying for more of the Holy Spirit. This is a kind of a grace that God gives for those who avail themselves. So I want to encourage you to maybe to consider coming to that. In the end, my brothers and sisters, if we can praise God, especially when we don't feel like it, if we can continue to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the glory of Jesus to us, then we can begin to sing praise to God even in this life that is filled with sufferings. And we can prepare ourselves to praise the God of creation and redemption with great joy in eternity.